said, help me, I don't have to speak today. But there is something. When you were reading from Ephesians chapter 2, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and spiritually we're with Christ at the right hand of the Father. And as you were speaking, I have all these sticky notes, and I wonder how come my pages get all ripped up, but it has to do with something that you said from the scripture, but it has to do with perspective. I'm certainly not arrived either. I'm on my way, but there's so much more, because it's like as you grow, you come to realize that there's so much more that we still don't know and is yet to be known, but as revealed by the Holy Spirit. But this, pertaining to that scripture, it's looking at a problem or difficulties from the perspective of being above it and not beneath it. Because positionally, we're in Christ at the right hand of the Father. And so it's learning to see things from a different perspective. If you see it from God's perspective, we are above it. But if we see it from our perspective, we're still under somebody's foot sometimes. And so it's renewing our mind, which is really vital to all of us. But being diligent. Diligent was a trigger word for somebody once, and they almost took my head off in a Bible study one night because I brought up the word diligent, but what it meant to me meant very different than what it meant to that person. They had always been forced and compelled to do stuff. And when I said diligent and how much it means to stick with it, to stay with it, don't give up, don't quit. Because you got to see the finish line to get the prize. And it's just something that we as believers have to discipline our flesh, because it will always do what it wants to do. But seeing it from a different perspective can make a big difference in how you pray. It can make a big difference in how you feel about yourselves. It can make a big difference in your attitude. It can make a big difference in whether the glass is half empty or half full. Mine's still a little bit left there. I'm good. I leave it there to remind me I need to drink it once in a while. But perspective is a very powerful word, but diligence is important. And it's interesting. I knew what the opening scripture was going to be today since Tuesday. It isn't always that way. Sometimes I don't have it until I get here. And if I don't get it, you ain't going to get it either. Maybe you may have it. But I'm not the kind of person just to flip the word open and say, oh, that looks good, let's go with that today. But everything that you said confirms the opening scripture, and you don't know what it is yet. But it's amazing how often that happens. That's why people can't believe that Faith and I have been here 35 years, and people look at us, well, aren't you burned out? No way. I come here to get burned up.
Because you're resting even though you're working.
I'm very much at rest.
Yes, that's how you do that.
Because I'm not called to do everything, but I'm called to do something, and it's the something that I'm attentive to. I don't try to do everything. I just don't. It's a good word is know what you're called to do and stick with it. Don't mind your own business about everybody else's stuff unless you're invited into the process. Well, I learned that a long time ago, because we all want to fix something in somebody's life. You know, like, I'm not God. You hear me say, I'm not Holy Ghost Junior, because I've come to the same revelation that the speaker has. We can only change what we're called to change, and usually it's something within our own lives. If you're involved and invited into the process with somebody else, then you have a willing heart on the other side of that coin. So good word, Lorraine, and I find it healthy if we can't come and be honest with each other, because that's how we all grow. We all teach each other. We all learn from each other. And I really believe the New Testament church thrived in that environment. I believe they came together, and they did discuss the word, and it was a wonderful experience, and the church grew because of it. We're growing because of it.
There's one thing that I meant to add when I finished that second scripture about coming to know the love of God, is because when you come to know that love that God has for us, then you're really, when you experience it for yourself, otherwise, well, number one, you can't share that love with other people. You can't love people properly when you don't understand that love that God has for you. It's impossible. You can't give away what you don't have. And for another thing, when you learn about how much God loves you and what He wants for you, and you belong to Him, and all these other things added on that God has been teaching me, then you're not going to let the devil come in and do this stuff to you. You're going to just, right at the door, no, I belong to God, and He loves me, He's done this for me, and then you can really learn to trust His word, too, when you come to know His love. You have more trust in Him when you come to know that love. It's so imperative to know how much we are loved by God.
Yeah. I got bold about that once. I it was almost a new believer's jealousy. Next week, on the 21st, it would be my 40th birthday in the Lord. And Faith was born again 3 days before me. And I started in the Gospel of John. That was what was highly recommended as a new believer. And I realized over the years, each of the disciples had different revelations and understandings of Jesus. But John had a wonderful revelation of the love of God. You see it in all of his writings, not only the Gospel of John, but you see it in his epistles. He so often talks about the love of God. And I asked God for that revelation, and I said, because you're no respecter of persons, I read that in your word, and Father, I want that revelation, because I never had that in my life. It's really lacking. And I asked him for it. And I believe I have some measure of it. But I know there's more. And never settle for where you are. That's nice for today. But keep growing. Keep seeking. Anybody else before we have our opening scripture?
Sure.
We've had a lot.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Yesterday, the overarching Bible verse was Romans 12:1-2, where we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and we are not conformed to this world, but transformed into Christ's image by the renewing of our minds.
Yes. That we may know that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Somebody tried to tell me God had three wills one time over that verse. And I said, all the times I've read about his will, it always seems singular. I never found that it was a triple. But his will is a noun, and good, acceptable, and perfect are adjectives. So his will is good, his will is acceptable, and his will is perfect. So, Aaron, are you... Oh, Kelly, yes, I'm sorry. You what?
I have a good overcoming story.
Oh, good.
This week, a large pounding came on the door, and it was a sheriff again with papers. And I didn't want to go to the door. So I stood in my bedroom. I don't want to go to the door. I already know. Yeah. And my ex-husband came was someone was trying to intimidate me, and it was just like, I don't need that. So I stepped in His perfect love, and I went downstairs, and the sheriff was very kind. And I was like, thank you, Lord. And he was like, what a beautiful day it is outside. I'm like, yeah, it is beautiful. Thank you. And then I just took the vapors and went back upstairs. And I said what I said, but I didn't care. And I threw it in the bed, and I lifted up to the Lord, and I did my processing, which takes, sometimes it takes anywhere from 5 minutes to 15 minutes to just kind of get it out and be like, all right, Lord, but I know that you're going to take care of it. And I threw it at, you know, I'm putting it at your feet, and I know you're going to take care of this, and I don't have to do anything that it says on this piece of paper. I already know I don't have to. I don't have to go, and I don't have to go listen to lies, and I don't have to go listen to stories that are made up, and I get to listen to you and what is truth, and in which I'm so glad and very thankful that we are overcoming that, because that same day, I was supposed to teach children online, and I was like, this is not ruining my day. And we just overcame it, and I was in perfect peace for the rest of the day to do whatever it is that I was going to be doing. And I was able to just be a really good teacher and tell the kids and meet the kids even, and it was such a great day. It went from like something that would like in the past would have probably taken me like several hours to go through or a day to go through to just kind of get it all out and then know that I'm an overcomer and we just keep going forward. And I'm just really thankful for the Lord just pulling me out of that and just being able to say, no, I don't have to do this, and just keep walking and walking in His love.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, Wayne.
We have time for one more.
Always. Yeah. We'll make time if there isn't time.
Let me stand up. So this is the tail end of Lorraine, what she was saying. And anxiety and depression, oppression, all that stuff is very real. It's, if you've never experienced it, you don't know how real it really is. There's all sorts of groups out there that just deal specifically with anxiety. There's something that comes in, and it takes over your life. And it limits you in very many areas. And I'll say the scripture that I read this morning. It was Psalm 46. He says, be still and know that I am God. Basically, kind of what was on the weekend, for you ladies. And I will be exalted above all peoples. I will be exalted above all the earth. It's a really simple scripture, but it says volumes. And I'll give you a testimony. I was away in India, and I was at a meeting. I've been there probably a little over 3 weeks at that point. In the middle of a meeting, and there was four of us pastors that were there, and one was speaking, and I was there sitting, and all of a sudden, bang, something came on me, and I was like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta change my plane ticket. I gotta get home. I mean, it was so oppressive. I mean, it was like, I left the room where we were at, I mean, the place where we were at, and went out. I'm standing out there and I said, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? I don't know how to do all this stuff. I don't know if I can change my tickets. And all these things racing through my head. And all of a sudden, I just stopped. I said, you know, God has called me here. I don't have to go anyplace. God has called me here. As soon as I realized and believed, because that's the key element, belief. It's one thing to know, gnosis in Greek, to know, but the rhema word is that revealed word to you. Say, no, I know. Gone. Gone. I mean, instantly. And I just could not believe it. You know, it was just like, I said, I've never experienced things like that before. I've experienced some other stuff. But people who are oppressed, because, I mean, I have trigger words that I've had to deal with, because I had a very bad temper. And I had trigger words. And once I found those trigger words, I said, I will not have that as a trigger word anymore. You can say it as much as you want. You can call me these names. You can do all that. It's not going to matter. Because I believe God has changed me. And I guess the crux of everything that I hear this morning is our belief system. And if you could just take like these two things. Okay, we're spirit and we're flesh. Then there's knowing God's word, and then there's believing God's word. Mm-hmm. And one is, you know, scripture says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. When we realize how much, like you're saying, how much God loves us, I mean, it's supposed to come and overwhelm us to a place where we say, you know,
I don't care in the world.
Yeah, I do believe what your scripture says, that all things work together for my good. And I have this one song that I listen to because it's just so, it speaks volumes to me. And it's what if all the struggles and all the trials and all the things we've lost, all the hurts, all the pains, all the sorrows, all that stuff, what if it was meant just to shape us to be more like Christ? I mean, we've all been through stuff, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But it's been used, it's like the potter's hands. It's like the sculptor's chisel, taking and constantly refining us. And the way I look at it, I believe that we're still on the potter's wheel. We're still wet and pliable. He's still shaping us and molding us into the image that he wants. We're not dry and broken or cracked. We're supposed to be wet with the Spirit of God. Anyway, I just had to share that because it's just, I couldn't get rid of it. So, thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Oh, this place is so rich. Priscilla?
When Ray was talking, I thought that God loved us just as much as he loved Jesus, and he sent his son to the cross. That's how much he loves us. And that's amazing. Yeah. You can really believe that.
Yes.
And you need to believe it.
Yes.
And
focus on that in the midst of the trial. And it's difficult to focus too. When Wayne was talking about all these thoughts racing through his head, that's what was happening to me yesterday. And yesterday, the day before, and I was like, it's no. It's like I almost feel like I'm subject to change, but I feel like I'm losing my mind.
And
it's when they read these vows of Jesus' death. Sometimes we read it over. We're just reading it. But when you really think about what's going on there, the love that God had for him, how much more he had for us.
Mm.
So, and then the other thing, my little name is Grace, and I'll share it with you.
Grace for Violet.
Barb.
First of all, I thank the Lord that it actually made it here. But I'll tell you. You know, I love the house of God, and I love the presence of God, and it's not much that will keep me from it. And this morning I woke up, and I was extremely sick, very dizzy, and I think what happened is I have a little cold, and I think what it is I took too much vitamin C, and sometimes I lose track and that happens, but anyway. Made it through that part, and I went downstairs finally, and once I got my head right, I had to go lay down again, and then the dizziness left me. So I said, I'm going to church. I said, I don't care if I'm a little late. I just want to be in your house today, Lord. It's not right not to be in your house. And so finally, about quarter after 10, I guess it is, I knew I was going to be late. I said, well, it's only like a 15 or 20 minute drive for me. No, it's not too bad. So lo and behold, I have never run into a train Manchester. No. Running to a train. And that movie was so long. I swear to God, it had to be 200 cars on it or something. So I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I said, boy, the devil does not want me in church today. No. So anyway, that's why I'm late today. And I just want to share my devotionals this morning, because it does happen to all of us. We go through periods of time when we don't hear God's voice, and we don't feel Him, or, you know, it's just like very, very still and quiet. You know God's there, but you don't, you just, there's just the stillness, you know, it's kind of just still. And it was very good, because, you know, I've been through times like that, and it was just a reminder that no matter what you're going through in life, just because you don't feel God or sense His presence or hear His voice doesn't mean He's not still working. Because in the life of the child of God, God is still working. He still works His plans for your good. The outcome is still going to be glorious. And as we learn more about Him, this morning I'm thinking about the scripture. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. And it's like, I got to go do a study on it, because I'm like, Lord, what actually do you mean when you say delight yourself in the Lord? And He will give you the desires of your heart. You know, trust in the Lord, do good in the land, you know, the whole thing. And, you know, these things are not in the scripture for no reason. God is giving us a pattern here on how to behave and how to act and how to trust Him. And the bottom line is trusting Him, you know, just trusting Him, knowing who you are in Christ, that, you know, it's by grace that you're saved, you know, by faith in Jesus, and that He is working in your life, no matter, you know, it's not about our feelings, and it's not about, you know, hearing His voice, you know, whether it be audibly or, you know, in ourselves or whatever, but it's about our relationship with God and just continuing on and trusting that even if you're not hearing Him for a moment, He's not far away, and He's very actively involved in your life to work everything you're going through out for His glory and your good. And sometimes we do go through times of testing. You know, a lot of times we go through times of testing. But even those times, it's to teach us about Him, about His great love for us, and how much in control He is, even though it doesn't seem like it. He is in control of everything you go through in your life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to God be the glory. We have to just walk in faith, trust in Jesus, trust in God, and God will get us to that final destination one day. So, you know, even though I'm a little late today, God got me to my destination. So mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. God, tell you, God does not want us to not be in the house of God, because we can encourage one another by our faith. You know, our faith will encourage the next person, will encourage the next person. Mm-hmm. And He said in the last days, when things wax worse and worse, to not forsake that fellowshipping, that you need that fellowshipping with one another. And so, I just praise the Lord. You know, God is powerful. There's nothing He can't do. There's no situation He can't change. There's no heart so hard He can't walk through it. And so we just have to be like Abraham, who was determined to believe God, even though the circumstances were so against what, you know, what the reality was. We just have to trust God and keep our hopers going, stand on God's word, and one day we'll see the whole plan. So I praise God for His goodness and His mercy.
Amen. Thank you. This is so good.
That stimulated me to remember the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, God is not mentioned at all. And yet God worked His plan out through His people.
Mm-hmm. And I read that this morning about Esther. And that was the example in the Giving to Him on devotionals. The book of Esther is the only book in the whole Bible that God's not mentioned. But you can see God's hand at work
Beautiful. Well, this portion of scripture that I brought this morning, and Aaron, you can have the photo ready if you would. And I'm going to read it from the King James Version, but also the Amplified. And it's 30 through 34. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come as one that travels, and your want as an armed man. And Aaron, I'd like you to put, there we go. That's what he's talking about. Slothful.
You look pretty comfortable.
Yeah, that's it. That's the picture. Oh, like the Caribbean. Be happy. Don't worry. Kick back. Relax. Then you let your guard down. And I just kept thinking of that word sloth. And slothful. Be filled with the likeness of a sloth. Who, that's what they do. Look at that expression on his face. And he's got his little hands up there like this. And it's just a perfect image of what this is talking about. And to us as believers, oh, awesome. Really, I think they're really nifty Holy Spirit insights. But I want to read it from the Amplified Bible next. Oh, yes, Priscilla. Proverbs 24. Verses 30 through 34. And so here's from the Amplified Bible. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man lacking understanding and common sense. And behold, it was all grown overgrown with thorns, and nettles were covering the surface, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I considered it well. I looked and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest and daydream, then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. And I too, when I read this, I pondered it. I've had this since Tuesday. And every day this week, I've just pondered it and just mulled it over. Why would the Holy Spirit, why this one? I mean, I don't ask in the essence of, I just want to know more than what I'm reading, if that makes any sense to you. It's one thing to read it, but it's another to, what is the Spirit showing me out of it? Well, first off, he reminded me of when we came to look at this building many years ago. From the tree line by the stone wall, there was so much brush and trash that you couldn't even see the stone wall hardly. And it went all the way around the perimeter and over to this other side. There was probably 12 feet of brush and growth and poison ivy and thorns and nettles, and it was all grown over, and you couldn't even see the stone wall. A lot of the stones had fallen off. They were just laying on the ground, and let alone the condition of the building. It had been neglected, and it literally was a mess. I've told some of you privately, people lived in it, and they had dogs, and this was the bathroom for the dogs. And all the urine and all the poop soaked on these old wooden floors for years and went down through the floorboards. and destroyed all the ceilings downstairs. And I remember walking through that front door. It was in August that we looked at the building, and the smell was so bad, it was just absolutely gag you. And I know the Holy Spirit said, don't worry about the smell. Look at where my son was born. And the four of us instantly knew that this was the place that he wanted us to be. And we began to set about, and it took weeks and weeks to cut all the brush, rototill all the ground, put all the stones back on the wall that we could carry, and just start going back to overcoming the neglect. But there's a deeper picture here. And the deeper picture is this. These are, I call them my comments, or Rick thoughts, if you will, or maybe some are inspired by the Lord. Some are just an understanding he gives me. I know a lot of times it seems like I present things in parables, but that's because I've studied Jesus' ministry so much. That's how I really got to know who God was. I studied Jesus. The field was not always barren, cropless and abandoned. It wasn't always like that. The vineyard was not always run down, unpruned and fruitless. The stone wall was not always broken down and useless. And all these things happened over the course of time, not suddenly. I looked a little deeper, and thoughts began to come, knowing that at one time, everything was very nice and very beautiful at one time, but through neglect, it got to that point. And the illustration is it wasn't like that from the beginning, but that's how it ended up. And so, this portion of Scripture is also a true portrait of a person who was once vibrant in their love for Jesus, and as time went on, they gradually became neglectful, lukewarm, or backslidden. It didn't happen overnight. To the point where suddenly the person woke up and said, I can't believe that happened to me. I don't know when it happened along the journey, but it did. And so here's some other things I saw. Developing the attitude that I have now arrived in all knowledge and understanding. I know that already. I've read the Bible 73 times all the way through. Don't tell me what it says. I can kick back, relax, and take it easy. Not realizing this is a dangerous place to be. Finding oneself not attending to our faith walk. Neglecting caution warning scriptures, such as John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Neglecting scriptures like 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I want to tell you, there's going to come a day in your life when you get your tenacity going and you get your backbone back up there where it belongs, and you tell the devil, you can go have my neighbor for breakfast, but I'm not your breakfast of champions today. Mark 4:18-19. This is the parable of the sower and the seed. I want you to go with me to the Gospel of Mark, please. This is how the field and the stone wall and the brush all started. These are some of the reasons. And this is a very, it's a very, very clear picture. And it really represents a lot of things that we've talked about already this morning. Mark chapter 4 is the parable of the sower and the seed. It's also repeated Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13. But I like it in Mark because it's his revelation of his understanding that the Spirit gave him and his perspective. Mark chapter 4. Verses 18 and 19. Number one, the word, the seed that was sown was the word. And there are four categories here of the heart, if you will, or the soil. The first one, the devil comes to take the word that's sown in a person's heart before they ever get a chance to get saved. That's the seed sown by the wayside. And you look a little further and you find out that there are others. You see, Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their hearts, verse 15. And that word isn't always salvation. It can be healing. It can be deliverance. It can be victory. Words like overcoming, more than conquerors. Before you get a chance to start believing that, the enemy comes because he's the exact opposite. He doesn't want you to have that word functioning in your life. He doesn't care so much that the word is there. It's just he doesn't want you to take advantage of it. He doesn't want you to believe what God really said is true. So he tries every way he can to take that word away from you. That's why I like that word tenacious. We all have to come to that place where we're willing to defend it when called upon to do so. I call these caution or warning scriptures to the believer. I sometimes put a little red mark there that I need to come back and pay a little more attention to that. It's the way I make my own concordances. I have scripture notes that I discover reading and put them in there as well. Verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown. The word of God is sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness and they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time until the buzz wears off. To those of you that have been in that lifestyle, you know what I'm talking about. You need something more because that only lasted a little while. You're always looking for something else to fulfill your life. And so you're quick to taste it and it's good, but you chuck it because something better is coming down the pike. And so the person in this category doesn't last long. It says that when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. So endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, notice it didn't say anything about God putting these things on you. I want you to clearly see that. It says for the word's sake. The biggest threat that you will ever be to the devil is as soon as you become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Then you start being fruitful. You start being victorious. You start being more of an overcomer because you let that word take root and you didn't let it get just pulled out. Because the enemy is after the word. The more word in you that you have, and you have what you have and you know what you know, the more you're going to see your lives turn around and be that more than conqueror and walking in victory. That is a real key parable, and this is, I think, a very, very valuable parable to those of us who read the scriptures. They immediately get offended. Oh my. Did you know that being offended is a decision that you make to be offended? It's your choice. God didn't put that on you. The devil's trying to steal that word. God gave you the word, but the devil's trying to steal it away. But we have to learn to guard it. And then the next verse. Now think of what we just read back in Proverbs about the field all grown over with nettles and thorns, a stone wall fallen down, the vineyard just a wreck. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Everybody heard the word in this parable. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It's the same word. But we really need to guard our hearts. I wrote some little red notes here too, in this parable. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word and the cares of this world. So world events, politics, financially have arrived. I was so poor I couldn't pay attention when I got saved. Every bit of money that Faith and I had other than our bills, we bought dope with it. You need to ask her sometime to share her testimony. She's very quiet and she don't blab her mouth like I do. But if you ask her, she has her own testimony. And we've both, even before we knew each other, got ground up and spit out a few times. And it can make you bitter. It can make your heart hardened. But I can tell you, looking back these 40 years, that's a testimony. I told you I was with Don, that when Don came to his reality and got saved, and it scared me really badly because I always liked him and he was a very friendly guy, and we used to do stuff together, and he got saved, and I parted company from him. I didn't.
He went all the way to Florida to get away from me.
Yeah. And then Jesus came all the way down there in March and saved me. He knows where to go when it's cold up here. But these things in this parable, world events, politics, financially have arrived. Nobody ever taught us about tithing. This is one of the niftiest things about getting saved from cold turkey, no church ever, nothing, no scriptures, no Bible. And how is it? Faith got saved on a Saturday. I got saved Monday night. We started going to a home fellowship and began tithing, and nobody taught us about it. Nobody, nothing. We just started doing it. And we didn't even read about it yet. Didn't even know anything about it, and yet immediately we started doing that. And we realized somehow by the Spirit, because now looking back, I know the Holy Spirit was showing us that the way out of our financial need was to learn to be givers. You've got to sow a seed for your need or there'll be no harvest. It's as simple as that. Seed time and harvest. But we just started doing it. And the empty cupboards began to get filled. People would call us and say, oh, I have a basket of fruit. Do you need anything at the house? People we didn't even know. And God began sowing into our lives. And all these years, it's happened. We could kick back and say, wow, we've arrived. And that's very foolish thinking. Because no, we're not arrived yet. We're not in the gates of glory yet. That's when we arrive, isn't it? So there was a lot in what I had read. Now, financially arrive. Rather than being thankful and content, having a greedy heart for more than what God has already provided. These are things where the deceitfulness of riches enter in. You see, that's listed there. Having a lot of riches, it's not always money, but try living without it. And that's the truth of the matter. And God knows we have need of finances. But we learn to be givers. It's just part of Christianity. It's part of our life. But to get neglectful in those things, these are what happened. These were events that happened that Jesus was talking about. Getting caught up in the cares of this world. That's like the nettles and the thorns that grew, you know, on this property. But also in what Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs. He saw those things by the Spirit. And he pondered them. So I did the same thing, and I found a lot of truths. It wasn't about the field as much as it was about the heart. That's the real revelation, isn't it? Because everything happens from the heart of man. Then Mark chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. I took this from the Amplified because I would have said it in a different way, but it would have been similar. Pay attention to what you hear. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Don't let it be just a noise in the room to hear your own voice. You listen by the Spirit to what you're letting into your spirit. Hearing is more than just these things that keep our brain from fighting. Because with what measure or standard of measurement, by your own standard of measurement, that is to the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom, that's what's going to come back to you. If you hear words of fear, you're going to be afraid. If you hear words of fear, you're going to have anxiety and panic. They go together. And it causes people to fall away. It causes them to lose sight of where they started in their faith walk, because all of these things Jesus warned us about. And I don't know whether it's just me or not, but there's a lot of things that I used to be attracted to before I got saved, and I'm finding that I'm not so much in that way anymore. I'm very content with such as I have. And if God wants me to have more, I'll have more. If he doesn't, I'm good. I'm like Paul. I learned to be content whether I have a lot or whether I don't have anything, because I still have him. And that's the greatest treasure. And he writes on a little further. Pay attention to what you hear by your own standard of measurement. In other words, what is it worth to you, what you heard? It will be measured to you, and you will be given even greater ability to respond, and more will be given to you besides that. For whoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given. Oftentimes, oh, yes, Priscilla. Yes, that's absolutely true. You read Ephesians, a couple of the prayers that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. He prayed for them to have understanding and that they would grow in these things. It's one thing to have it, but to grow, because there's more to be understood. And it says, if you have a teachable spirit, not have the attitude, I've read my Bible 73 times and I got it, don't tell me what it says, and you take that attitude, believe me, I've been around a few people that did have it, and they let me know it very clearly. They were quite effective in that ministry. But if you want and desire more understanding, you still got to have a teachable spirit. There's so much more to learn, so much more for the Holy Spirit to reveal to us. And we can't live our lives without the Holy Spirit. Why? He's the greatest teacher of all. And it will be given. And whosoever does not have a yearning for the truth, even that which he has will be taken away from him. And that comes back to John 10:10. The thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's not God doing it. It's all Slewfoot himself. So keep your stone wall in place. Keep the brush cleaned up. Keep the grass cut. Keep your vineyards pruned. Oh, besides, you are planting in the Lord's vineyard. There's another connection. So there's a lot there. And thank you for letting me share that with you. I always consider it a privilege to come and we share the word together. And I appreciate you all so much too, because you share that with each other when we're here too. And it's a very edifying morning. It's what makes it so special here. The Holy Spirit is free to rule and minister in our lives, but we're free to share the word with each other, to pray for each other, to speak words of encouragement to each other, because it's very hard to find that in a lot of other places. But we have it here. And we have a house full of riches and treasures, because you are a treasure. And the Master's wherever he keeps his treasures and trophies. Well, I guess that's why the clock got set an hour ahead, because we're almost arrived, but we're not there yet.